First and goal from the 9 for the Jets.
Go, go, go!
Fitzpatrick, the throw, end zone! Marshall's got it! Touchdown, Jets! A strike to Marshall!
Referee, tell by my attitude that I most definitely leave from.
NYJ. Couch Scouts. I'm your host, Peter Antonelli.
I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household was rocking.
And my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
No question, we're top five.
Top five dead or alive.
NYJ.
Couch Scouts.
Welcome, everybody, to the NYJ Couch Scouts podcast. This is your host, Peter Antonelli, here with my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
What's going on, Jet fans?
Let's get right into it. My boy's looking all right out there. Wanted to carry him along this whole argument, whole time we're discussing. Got to move on from Petty. No way we can carry four. You were strong in Geno's corner. Still there?
I don't think so. 16 for 26. 242 yards, 2 touchdowns, a rating of 117.8. That's very, very impressive.
Preseason football, I really can't put credential behind those numbers. What I'm looking at is the way he's commanding the offense. The way this kid is coming to the line, identifying the mic, moving people around. He still gets stuck on his first read. This will come with growth. This is a project the same way Hack is a project, which we are getting there on this episode, because the narratives that are out there right now for the reasoning of why Hack has not seen a snap is hilarious to me.
I would like to talk about that too, but back on Petty. I think that Petty looks awesome as a leader, as a quarterback in the NFL. The difference between Geno and Petty, and I know I've been on the Geno train, but even when we went to practice 2 weeks ago and we saw that Petty threw a long touchdown, ran all the way down the field to meet his player with some water, when we see Geno is nowhere near the team. Geno is away from the team, not being a good leader. I'm not impressed. And I thought I was going to see more after what happened last offseason with Geno. I don't see it, though.
Last offseason was a proof of lack of leadership on his end. So I don't know why you were expecting growth from that. I got to be honest with you.
Because he was on a national stage of embarrassment.
I can't knock Geno for that play, because I was impressed that he had his hands up, that he kind of celebrated with the guys. He did it in his own way. He was off to the side, neither here nor there. I can't really back you on that one, because he did take part in that. And a guy who's sitting there really salty about his positioning, salty about what's really going on right now, isn't really giving off those vibes. Geno's kind of an odd cat as it is. But to me, we're almost getting to a point in this preseason with the attitude, with the demeanor. It's almost like this kid wants a fresh start. And if he's not even thinking fresh start, he just wants out of here.
And do you think that we give him that before the season starts? Or are we going to hold these four quarterbacks?
I don't know. In my opinion, if we are steadfast on keeping Geno Smith for 2016, absolutely you're carrying four quarterbacks.
Because after seeing what I saw last week in this last game and this whole training camp, I think Petty, you can't get rid of. And you can't chance him going on the wave, putting him on waivers and him getting picked up somewhere else.
Okay, but let me ask you, are you ready with everything you just said to turn over the keys to Bryce Petty? God forbid a Fitzpatrick goes down and now he is the primary backup.
If the season started today, I think I'd be comfortable if we had to throw Petty out there. Obviously, Geno has more experience, but Geno hasn't shown us anything. And I'm hurt more than anybody. You know this. Everybody that listens to the show knows this, that I'm a big Geno fan. But right now, I would be nervous to put the ball in Geno's hands.
I agree with that. Wholeheartedly. It's my point on his demeanor right now. He looks disinterested in what is a contract year.
So do we even want a player like that on the team?
No, I don't. My
biggest argument with Fitz was being a team player, him not being there during practice. And now we got a player that was there who doesn't really want to even be a teammate.
It's just my view of it, though. I don't want to say this is what's happening. This is what I'm just seeing as I'm watching it and reading tea leaves. That's all. I look at a Petty. I look at a kid, but he's older than we think he is. I look at a kid who's fiery. He's out there slinging it. He's going to make a mistake. That pick hasn't been completed on the defensive end yet, but the ball has been in a defender's hand a lot. You have to at least admit that.
And
I don't want to sound like a detractor. I'm behind Petty. I just want to give the other end of it for the jubilance that everybody has right now. A couple of those balls are caught. We may be talking about them in a different light.
No, I agree. I agree that if the game goes a different way, we don't talk about Petty this week like we are now. But Petty looks conditioned right now. He looks like his arm looks good. He looks like he's thinking right. He looks like he's learning a lot behind Fitzpatrick, and he's behind him literally during practice, following him around like a little kid. Where you see Geno on the opposite side because he thinks that he's really competing for this starting spot maybe, or competing for the rest of the league, where Geno's not impressing anybody.
Great points up and down, in my opinion. I really feel that way. Yeah, you just look at Hackenberg as well, if I can pivot it there. And he's the same way with Fitz, if not more so. Petty, we talked about, he watches Fitz kids. This is one of those old school type of relationships of vet to youngster. But you look at the practice field when we were out there hip and hip, and I don't understand how the stance out there is. Obviously, this is because Hackenberg can't play. Obviously, the Jets know they threw away a second-round pick. We have the ability, because of what we have just talked about for the last 6-7 minutes, we have the ability to put Pampers on this kid right now.
My thing is about that, I would like to see him too. And my problem is, if we're not going to show him, why draft him at the 51st pick? Why do that? And why? Because we know if we're going to carry 3 quarterbacks and we're going to chance him putting on the practice squad, somebody's going to pick him up on waivers. No question.
You talking about Hackenberg?
Yes, so
I am. They're not releasing their 51st pick
exactly,
in the draft.
Exactly. So the issue is that if we carry 4 quarterbacks, we have to lose somebody else on the team. Are we really going to carry 4 quarterbacks? Are we really going to carry Geno, who really can't play and looks like Petty's going to take the second spot?
How far the apple has fallen from the tree.
For real.
Oh, man, I am proud of you right now.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I truly am. Yes is the answer to your question, though. We're going to carry 4 quarterbacks because what are they doing with Geno? I don't see them outright cutting him. You can't say you were comfortable to go into the regular season with this man under center and then due to what he's looked like in let's call it 5 drives of a preseason, now cut bait with him, move on because he's garbage. I kind of fell on that side of the line as it was, but neither here nor there. I don't think you can really have that stance if you were willing to turn the keys over to him. And I'm not just saying you, I'm saying in general. And you look at Petty, I never felt they were throwing away the 4th round pick from last year. It would make zero sense. And even with Hack and the situation that they cornered themselves into, you have to make adjustments elsewhere on the roster. A place where we have depth like the defensive line and depth in terms of quality talent, maybe we can afford to lose a body at.
I don't want to seem like a flip-flopper, which I am right now, but we didn't expect Petty to look this good, in my opinion. I think Petty looks way above schedule for me. And okay. For that, if Geno turns out for the rest of the preseason like he is, how do you not say, why are we going to keep this guy?
Okay, but now I got to ask you, what do you expect Geno to play Saturday night against the Giants? Because you're looking at Fitz into the third quarter, and let's say they go on a long drive, maybe half of the third quarter. So now, who gets the nod as the number 2? They upped Hackenberg's practice reps yesterday. So you got to anticipate them grooming him for week 4,
yes,
which we've been talking about.
Yep.
Get the feet wet in practice. I anticipate 3 quarters for Christian Hackenberg against Philadelphia.
Nice,
comfortable environment. No pressure. Probably can have the family in the stands. A nice spot to put something on film, to grow from, to evaluate. The regular season practice field is where he's going to have the most growth.
If he doesn't get any time week 4, what do you think about that?
We can have that conversation when we get there.
Does that make you change your idea a little bit?
The narratives that I alluded to earlier will hold some water for me if he doesn't see anything.
If you get
week
picked
4.
In the second round and you don't get any preseason time.
Yes, because to me, it's the Brooks Bollinger Bowl. To me, this is a game where 1 to 2 guys truly have a chance to really sway a coach's decision. A lot of this, and we'll get into it when we talk about cuts after the Giant game. There's a couple names of guys that I feel get released that No way. Let that camp battle keep going. He can be in practice another week and a half. The difference is you need certain bodies at certain positions. Julian Hausaar. I feel Julian Hausaar makes it to the second round of cuts. Does that fit the team? Is that a smart move? Maybe, maybe not. For evaluating a guy like a Shelby Harris or a Jeremy Ross or a Darryl Morris at corner. But the reason you carry a Hausaar into a week four is because you don't want your starter and Bohannon out there and you want to still be able to run your base package. So there's certain roster spots where it's going to be flip-flop. If I go into that game and my fourth string quarterback, who I shouldn't say I don't mind exposing because you mind exposing what you think is your future, but in reality, a fourth string quarterback, you wouldn't mind exposing. It starts to turn into a different situation if he would have not take the field that night.
Let's just hope we don't have a big time storyline on Geno before the end of before the season starts.
But how much burn do you think he gets against the G-men? And again, I feel it's petty to open up the game in Philly and it gets handed over to Hack quite quickly. So what can Geno possibly do against the Giants if your stance is, if he doesn't improve in the preseason, move on and cut him? He's not
just the preseason,
really,
but also in practice before the season starts is also my interpretation of this is, okay, he gets the rest of the game after Fitzpatrick in the third game. If he doesn't look anywhere impressive, he looks like he has another slow start when he steps in there, that's an issue. And then I think if he has a slow start, they give him a little bit of time in Philly for the three quarterbacks to come out, because I think Hackenberg's going to live. I think they're going to play three in week four. And if that's the case, you really have to question if he's one of the last cuts. I really do. I really think you have to do that.
I think it's interesting that you think they're playing three. You're exposing your backup quarterback in that game then, whoever it may be.
No, I think that you do. I think you do, because I think that Geno is a big question this offseason, especially after last offseason. But let's get into the players that they throw to.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
Let's get into the players that they throw to, okay?
Because this is a position group with carrying four quarterbacks that may be hurt, and we got guys that are showing out right now. So I know where you're bringing it. Go ahead.
All right, so Robbie Anderson. Temple. All
right, so Robbie Anderson.
That's right.
He hit him with that smooth operator.
Man, he looks smooth, doesn't he? He looks smooth. He looks like he's getting over top of corners. He's catching balls over corners. He's running though. He's fast. He's long.
Theismann said it two or three times during that game. He really makes it look effortless catching the football.
He does.
Sounds silly to say. He's a professional wide receiver right now. But some guys fight the ball. You look at Jason Morrow. I don't understand what happened. This man caught 100-plus balls at Texas Tech. And
that's college. It's the pros.
You can see his brain working as the ball's coming. I'm at a point of seriously getting nervous now. I really am. I've been trying to stay positive.
But is it better than Kellen Davis?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't have to get that nervous then.
Literally twice on Sunday.
And I can't believe he got the ball and he gave the ball up.
What do you mean you can't believe that?
It's unbelievable.
I felt bad
it's
for
unbelievable
Sudfeld.
That this guy is the number one on the depth chart.
I truly felt bad for Sudfeld. He was having himself a ball game.
At least
game.
He had a touchdown.
Baby bro on the other side, he was having himself a ball game. And he put it in his hands with the opportunity to win it. And he went down the field and did it for mom. I was impressed.
I was impressed, too. I thought that Sudfeld getting a touchdown is great, even though he fumbled at the end of the game to eventually lose the game. Like, that's a big-time fumble. But Kellen Davis, man, why are you on this team? What's the reason?
Blocking. Blocking. And it's due to the fact that we abandon the tight end position in reality almost forever. But over the last decade, it's been a joke. The last two-way guy that I can truly think of that was deserving to be out on the Anthony Becht.
Oh, I was going to say Chris Baker.
Okay. Chris
Baker. I thought
Chris
Baker was more exciting than Anthony Becht was.
More exciting, but if you want to talk about a steady guy, Becht at a certain point in his career was a third offensive tackle. Curtis Martin was doing his thing, running behind Anthony Beck.
Yeah, I get you.
I'm not saying solely here, but that's the type of Anthony Fasano tight end that this team's been lacking for a long time.
We have.
And it's why Kellen Davis might actually stick. Petrifying to me.
Scares me too, especially when you get the ball. The first time you touch the ball.
Good
first
vibes.
Time you touch the ball, you're fumbling it.
Let's
it's
get back to the wide receiver group.
All right.
Marshall made an executive decision, no?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? Marshall, first play of the game. Marshall came in on a 15-yard dig and said, nah, I'm good. I'm all right on that preseason. I want to be mad at him, but I can't, because you know what? He gets lit up there, ribs. I'm fuming.
Everybody's
week two of the preseason.
Yep. If he's not in the game week one, people
exactly,
are scared.
Exactly. So he made a little...
Because then you got Decker getting double teamed.
Made a little business decision there. I'm not mad at him. To me, Decker, week one, he's going to be there, steady Eddie. He's going to be doing his thing. The guy I want to focus on for this group is a guy who you have a totally different stance than me with, Kenbrell Tompkins.
If Quincy Enunwa is healthy, I don't see how Kenbrell can make this team. He hasn't impressed at all. Do I see that we need use for him?
I completely disagree there. You say it to me all the time. You guys all got me into the fantasy football. You rely on the young guys too much. I think you're putting a little too much stock in the young guys right now performing on what we call a win now team.
Do you mean Quincy?
No, I mean Jalen the Beast Marshall. I mean Sharon Peak, Robbie Anderson, guys who aren't even on the squad yet, that I feel like you're looking at Kenbrell Tompkins as an expendable. Because of them, they've yet to lock down their spot. They've yet to really put it in stone throughout an entire offseason. I'm sorry, entire training camp and preseason.
Obviously, we don't know until those first cuts who we're going to keep and who we're not, but I don't think he's shown us anything, and he's been inconsistent throughout his career, really. And that's the thing that we're going to waste a roster spot on this guy who might be inconsistent and maybe lose out on a young guy who might be a stud.
I want to get behind you here.
How many studs are on this team underneath Kenbrell Tompkins?
You just proved my point. How many studs are on this team behind Kenbrell Tompkins? Please, name me some.
Sharon Peak.
What's he done?
Sharon Peak, I think he's shown that he can run routes in the NFL, that he's a conditioned route runner.
Okay.
And that's very impressive to me, especially when you come into the league as a young wide receiver. Route running is probably one of the harder things.
Absolutely. And recognizing coverages and being where you're supposed to be.
And if you
yes.
look like you're conditioned at that, I think that's a player that you cannot give up and lose to waivers. If you put him on waivers, losing to the rest of the league. I think I'd rather lose Jalen Marshall in that sense than you lose Sharon Peak.
We'll discuss that. And we got Gio over here. I mean, I never saw a head shake. I thought it was going to come off his shoulders. We're gonna get into that because I understand what I think you're getting to there. The size, the speed, and the mold that we seem to like in our receiving core now. And the guy that we focus on going out and
what
fitting.
We're looking for. What
That's
we're looking
what I'm saying.
For. Where so, Jalen Marshall is like, I'm not saying that you can find him anywhere.
Where Jalen Marshall is Jeremy Curley and Sharon Peak is Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
I get your mold there. That's what I'm trying
Those
to say.
Those are hard to find.
I can see your argument there. I can. But to me, you're talking about the Sharon Peaks and the Robbie Andersons. Like I said, they are not New York Jets until September 11th. And you know what? It may be a week, couple weeks after that with some of these end of the roster guys until they really should feel safe.
But I don't want them to be New England Patriots on September 12th.
I know, but you can't fear that.
That's what you fear when you hold the Kenbrell Tompkins on your team, though.
I understand.
When you
that,
hold the player that can possibly lose a game at the end of a Buffalo game to possibly maybe win the game for you.
They didn't lose a game.
I'm just saying. That's the player that you're going to keep that can possibly hurt a game for us when you got studs that are looking impressive.
Okay, and you know what I look at it? Dallas. The game that put us in position to go play New England, which put us in position to go play Buffalo, for him to cost us the game, as you said. That coverage he reads.
I don't think he
adjusted his route there. We're not in the film room. Maybe that was a slant that he recognized the corner jumped underneath. Now that's an automatic checkoff. Go fly. Fitch read it. That's the game-changing play. That's the type of thing that a guy who's worked with Tom Brady, a guy who's been in New England system, I owe it a dollar, I know, a guy who's been now with us, comfortable with us. You know what I'm saying? This is value, like what we spoke about with Fitz and the quarterback position, that room and this offense. It's a value that maybe doesn't show up in a stat sheet. He's comfortable with Marshall, comfortable with Decker. He's not coming in and learning, and he's been under the lights.
So it doesn't scare you a little bit that Kenbrell Tompkins takes the spot of a young
Bro,
stud
petrified. Driver? Petrified. Same thing we talked about with four quarterbacks. It's asinine. It's not how you build a team. But the fallback, what Mike Maccagnan took over, was not an NFL football team. So we're in year two of that. So if we got to bite the bullet right now to get the quarterback situation under control, that's something you have to do.
And that's another thing. If we keep four quarterbacks, that loses a roster spot on the wide receiver end, which we lose one of those stud guys.
Possibly. And now let's get into Breno.
Before you get into Breno, let me just take it back to that. Loses a spot at the wide receiver position, and Kembrell Tompkins is taking up a spot, which I think another player can fill who's younger.
I got you. Where I'm going with Breno, though, he was out stretching yesterday, maybe working himself back into team drills or even putting a helmet on. Let's say Breno's not ready. Devin Smith reports are running straight line. No cuts, no football activities. You can forget about him. That's Pup. He's out for at least 6 weeks. He can be put on the practice field. Has to be activated over the next two. You're not looking at Devin Smith for half a year. With his inconsistency last year, a little bit on fits, and with his just a lack of experience, let's put it that way, you can't count on truly getting anything out of him now a second year into his career.
Yeah, that Devin Smith is questionable.
That's a good way to put it.
But it's good that he starts the season off on the PUP list.
We have another roster spot.
Exactly.
And that's why I brought up
Breno.
And
then we can test those young guys to see who gets then pushed back down when Devin Smith is ready to come back in.
If you're looking at the Breno situation, though, are you carrying an extra offensive lineman? Are you going with Quale or Ajulana? Who do you like right now?
I think you got to put Olajuwon in there just because Olajuwon is definitely the one who they think they trust more than Quale. And I think that he showed a little bit. He showed a little bit with the offensive team. And I'm happy if he has to be the starter this year, that's fine with me. Again, Breno gave me headaches, and he's going to give you headaches. He's that kind of player. So if we're going to have the weak link on the right tackle, he's already the weak link. So at this point, it's either one for me.
I won't get on board with you with the they've shown they like them more. I brought up the fact that I thought Quale would get the nod week one. He got the nod week two. It was a quick three and out. Ajulana was in there, but it was a rotation. He got the nod to start this week. I want to see what Quale has because I almost feel like even though he's another one with a lack of experience, I almost know what Ajulana has, I feel. Quale to me is the wild card. And if you strike gold with an undrafted guy who you groomed for 2 years at right tackle, it would be great.
Do you think that they start the season with Olajuwon and then possibly put Quale halfway in? Or do you think the starter week one is going to be the starter all season?
I think the starter week one, no. I hope he'd be the starter all season. But I think the starter week one is the starter till Breno were to come back.
Well, obviously.
I don't know if it gets to that point. I just feel like backs, not only are they tricky, but you never really know what your progression is. He may feel good tomorrow, call it a relapse, whatever you want to do. He may not feel that way the next day.
No, I get it.
So,
Especially a veteran.
Do you commit to a Breno to then, now we get into week two, he tried to give it a go. He goes down, and you got to use the IR boomerang, as some call it. Now you got to use that on him, and you could have had him on the PUP. You could have had a Robbie Anderson, or you could have had a Sharon Peak if we were to say he's on the block. You could have had one of those guys on this roster and under your control. But by trying to commit to Breno and hope that rehab progresses well enough to be out there week one, you might have cost yourself your bring back IR for the year.
It scares me a lot that those receivers that we're talking about, Peak, Anderson,
Marshall,
and the quarterbacks, Petty, Hackenberg, Geno, all of those guys, we release them, they go to waivers, a team is picking them up. They're not coming back.
I agree with you.
They are not coming back.
You. That's what I said about Petty a couple weeks ago. You expose him with the talent, should say lack of talent, in the NFL right now at the quarterback position, somebody else is going to want to work with him. You can't do that because we wanted to work with him. We secured our spot to work with him. Keep doing it. Keep steady the course. Keep going with him.
Okay, let's talk about the people that play the wide receivers. Let's talk about the cornerbacks, man.
I would love to get over the defense, baby.
Let's talk about Marcus Williams.
Justin Burris had a rough night, too.
He's a rookie.
I hope he don't turn into the mushes over here, though. I hope he don't talk about a guy 1 week and he has a bad week.
Well, let me say something about Justin, though. Justin had a really good play to start the game. He had a big pass defense.
Absolutely.
And that looked good. And I thought he was going to have a good game after that. And then he started
showed
to settle
another
down
good
a little
PBU.
Bit.
I want to say third quarter, maybe midway through the third quarter.
He is big, man.
He's a big
boy. He is a big guy.
He is.
He is a big guy.
Marcus Williams, where you started to go there, without the resume, and it's not large, but it is a halfway decent resume for what he is.
Oh, definitely. For a small school guy,
without
definitely.
Without the resume that he's built over the last 2 years with the Jets in the NFL, that's the type of game that gets you cut.
It's a cuttable game, right?
That was, I mean, he got Kyle Wilson.
And the news that we hear yesterday that Antonio Cromartie is now a Colt. Congratulations, Antonio Cromartie. Found a home. But
best of luck, Crow. Hope he can stay healthy out there. Hope he gets healthy.
That game with Marcus Williams scared you a little bit. Made you want Cromartie back a little bit.
And I kind of looked at it like, I know the rest of the league ain't looking at the Jets like, he's a Jet. We got to go get him now. But I almost looked at it like, right when we started to maybe have to have a conversation in the coach's room about the cornerback position, our ace in the hole disappeared.
Yep. Yep, the guy that we thought was going to be there maybe last week, maybe just to scoop up.
Exactly, a guy who we thought, if we need him, he's on ice.
Yeah, he was looking for money for those children.
Ice. He's on ice in Indy now, holding it down till Vontae could get back, and then playing across from him. So like you said, we wish him the best. No longer a Jet, unfortunately.
Very sad, very sad day.
Got to move on. Time comes for everybody. Follow times.
Yeah, but back on Marcus Williams. Small school guy, played very well last year. Todd Bowles loves the guy, loves him. Obviously, loves
Darryl
him so
Morris
much because he might
right
be the second cornerback, because we know Buster really dominates in the slot.
Agreed.
So him playing last week and looking pretty bad scared me a little bit. That's the hole in our defense right now in my head.
The thing is, the Redskins have the type of wide receiver core. They got a bunch of Julian Edelmans out there. Your boy Jamison Crowder is out there. The kid Ryan Grant, I believe it's Tulane. Mid to late round draft pick
and
a
Ross,
year or two
right?
ago. Ross. They got a lot of shifty guys. I'm not bringing up DeSean Jackson and their first round pick who's out.
Didn't even dress.
You know what I mean? So they just got a lot of those jittery guys, the type of guys that give even Revis a headache.
Yeah.
Preseason, again, you're running simple concepts. Guys are out there on an island one-on-one. You got guys running zone that aren't comfortable with each other. There could be excuses found for some of it, but I agree. It was the type of game that stood out negatively in the film room.
Yeah, it scared me, especially last week. We see D get killed by Allen Robinson, and now...
He had good coverage. He just got no ball skills.
That's an issue, man. It's an issue. He's losing. You're losing.
Okay,
you got one-on-one,
you're losing. Beat.
Exactly.
I tried to slip it in there when you were talking about M-Dub, though. Felt Darryl Williams had a decent game. Haven't seen much out of the Bryson Keatons or Kevin Shorts of the world.
But what's the odds of those guys?
Keaton, no, the odds for a Keaton, though, is a 6'2 corner. An old DB like Todd Bowles wants to keep that around and work with that.
That's hard to keep.
You hang around on the practice squad, it may not be the millions that the others make. You make a nice living for 17 weeks. You're affiliated with the team, NFL program, NFL playbook, shot at next year's roster.
Hey, that's hard when you got four quarterbacks and 15 wide receivers, man. that's hard work right there to keep a guy like that, okay? You want to keep a guy who's been a Jet. You want to keep Dexter. You want to keep D, who D, again, leaves the game
you
with another injury.
D. You have to keep D. They're locked
I
into
know
that
you gotta
contract.
Keep D,
he's going
but again,
nowhere. I want to talk about a guy on the defensive side of the ball that you were excited about. Deion Barnes, where are you right now? I have my opinion. Want to know yours.
I'm looking through the periscope, man. I have no idea where the hell he is.
I don't understand. You hear nothing but good things. He's got the body. Again, came out early, undrafted. Unfortunate for him, but something we took time to work with last year, and we were expecting a nice step and a legitimate pressing for a roster spot. The man's been silent. And in my opinion, he's the type of guy that's got a shot to be that extra spot for a week while Sheldon's out. Or maybe for one of these pup guys. I think Julian Stanford has played himself onto this roster.
Really?
And you've
really?
Seen that. Yeah, you've seen that
seen
in other
him in
spots.
Person? He's a pretty short guy, isn't he?
Yeah, but what did I say before camp? I can see him maybe carving out the type of niche where he's a pseudo backup to Darren Lee. And you kind of gave me a chuckle. I think it's coming to fruition. I really think he's played himself on this team. He's looking at the Jamari Lattimore role of last year. And I love it. Brooklyn boy, Wagner. Can't really ask for much more. You
no,
get your
yeah.
shot at your hometown squad, and you take advantage of it right now.
Another player that I want to talk about is Deion Simon. Look, we saw some stuff from
phenomenal.
This game.
Looked phenomenal.
And you know what? There was a... there was a fourth and what a fourth and one, a fourth and two that we stopped.
Yeah.
That two players got in on. You know the two players?
Well, I know one was Simon. I'm gonna have to go out on a limb and say Rontez Miles.
Again, leads the league, leads the team in tackles for another game. That's not good.
When
your corner, when your safety is leading the game in tackles.
Yeah, but when it's Rontez who literally is 400 miles coming at the line, you play action. See ya.
Man, he's just he keeps impressing. But again, like the game, when you have your safety getting the most tackles in the game, and we have a bend no break defense, that means that the running backs,
the wide receivers are getting up to there.
We're getting up there. What are we just got a break defense?
No, we don't got a bend but don't break defense. This is the preseason. Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried. I'm talking about what's going on right now. I'm talking about what's going on right now.
But I'm talking about what's going to be going on when all the chips are on the table and it matters.
Hey, okay.
We ain't going to be bend but don't break. We ain't going to be bend. This will be a dominant unit.
Okay, I hope so. With four safeties, is Rontez number three?
Rontez is on the squad. Rontez is my number three. Rontez is also, as you've been clamoring for, my special teams captain.
I think so.
A guy who's almost filled that role the last year or two, I really think is not only on the chopping block, but I think you could see as a surprise name after the Giant game is Trevor Riley. Another one you've heard nothing of other than he's running with the threes.
Yeah.
You see him out there with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter of the second preseason game. This is a guy who was pressing for time over the last 2 years. A guy who's performed decent on special teams. Have we gotten to a point with the Freddie Bishops and the Deion Barnes and the Tywan Jones where a guy in Trevor Riley that we would rely upon and deal with a couple shortcomings now can be replaced due to upping the talent around them?
I think so. I never had so much faith in Trevor Riley, and I think that these young guys that are out playing him and showing their spark can definitely take his spot. No question. Especially got the linebacker position. We got the rookie Darren Lee, man. He still looks good. Still
two picks
looking
yesterday.
My
and the
goodness.
One shot I seen, he looked like the Jordan logo.
You know, I talked about it. Other people have talked about it that his size and he has to grow into the league and get his size. Man, he looks conditioned.
Without a doubt. Sheldon said he calls him little dog was the quote. And he said, you know, I don't really get on him for his size because he gets it done. And that's kind of what Darren Lee said. We've quoted a couple times the 232. I kind of listened to an interview recently where he chuckled at that. He said, I'm heavier than that, but I'll leave it at that.
I'll chuckle at that, too. I don't think that.
And you look at going through the season, it's going to be a little bit of a grind. You hope he maybe has a little extra on now to fluctuate because every rookie hits that wall. I just hope we scheme him right and we use him right to where he doesn't burn out.
I think we will. I think no matter where you put him, he's going to impress. He's going to play his hardest. And he's one of those players that just knows not to get touched by anybody. He is
some of
so
these
perfect
plays,
that.
We haven't seen a Jets linebacker. We thought it was going to be with DeMario Davis. Never turned out to be.
That's what we hope that Darren Lee turns. In my opinion, that's what I hope Darren Lee turns into that, man.
You want Darren Lee to turn into DeMario
Davis? No. That's what we were hoping DeMario turned into.
Okay. Woo! I was about to turn off your mic.
I ain't that crazy.
No.
I know I got some skip ways, but I ain't that
much higher ceiling for what I think Darren Lee can and will become in Jets green. But where I was going, I haven't seen a linebacker stack and shed and get sideline to sideline like Darren Lee is moving right now.
And you know what also is impressive by that is that Aaron Henderson doesn't look half bad either.
Absolutely not. Aaron Henderson, to me, looks like David Harris, you know what I mean by that. He looks like David Harris next to Lee when they're playing with each other. And when he went down with the shoulder, I thought Darren Lee's clock was about to tick before he thought it was. But he was back out of practice. Seems like he was fine.
Yeah, our middle linebacker position is looking really good. And we were suspect for the last couple of years when we had Didi on the team. We were very, you know, we just have David Harris. That's all we have. Now it looks like we got Bruce Carter looks decent. I think he's going to make this team too.
Do you know what I thought when I saw Jordan Jenkins, calf injury, leaves practice? First of all, I thought we lost our potential starting outside linebacker. I pictured Calvin the Dinosaur Pace coming in, taking, look at you pumping the fist.
My man.
I pictured him coming in, taking the 97 right off of Lawrence Thomas's back.
Who had a decent game.
Absolutely, out there with the ones.
Yeah.
But I'm like, please, please don't be anything serious, because you want to talk about a Geno Smith holding a roster spot. If Calvin Pace holds a roster spot on this team again this year, he is Teflon Don.
I think he's got a room at the hotel that the Jets are staying at. No doubt. Just waiting for the call.
No doubt. No doubt about it. I'm thoroughly waiting for the day when I see Calvin Pace, one-year deal, vet minimum, back with the Jets.
Right across the street from One Jets Drive. I really think he's sitting over there waiting for the call.
I hope it's not.
And if it's
case.
Not waiting for the call to play, he's waiting for the call to come over there and be a mentor, be a practice
that be
coach.
That wouldn't be a bad
like
thing
that.
For him. He was always a stand-up guy.
And he was with the Jets for a long time. I'm pretty
everybody.
Sure they have a job for him.
Always seemed to be liked by everybody, and the Jets have been doing right by their people recently. So hope it's a trend that continues. Let's get into the D-line a little bit, though. You only really brought up Simon. Mo's getting back into the swing of things, getting his feet wet. Definitely feel he's out there against the Giants.
Lawrence Thomas, man.
Out there with the ones, go
looked
ahead.
Impressive. And then last week I talked about Shelby. You know, both of them. Both of those backup guys. And we know Deion Simon had another big game.
Lawrence Thomas,
line,
the type of guy that could take advantage of Sheldon's suspension for a week? Because do you go into week one with five defensive linemen in Leo, Simon, McClendon, Jarvis Jenkins, and Mo?
I think you could do that. I think they're impressive.
Somebody
to
goes
do that.
Down, you start to get sparse. Now you're looking at, you're asking a Jordan Jenkins, you're asking a Maldon now to come play a defensive end. Or you're getting funky and
that's
you're
my
running.
Thing. What, we got an update on Maldon's injury?
I'm sorry?
We got an update on Maldon's injury?
Maldon was out there on the practice field yesterday, so far so good.
That's good. That's good. Knock stuff. I was a little nervous, you know, he's our young guy being our defensive end. I don't want to lose any time with him.
Guy who's missing time is McDougal. And he might cost, I can't say he might cost himself. He hasn't done anything. His hamstring might cost him a shot at this 53-man roster.
It's terrible, man. I really wanted to see D, and we know we're both D. We both like D, I mean, Dexter a lot, excuse me. But it stinks that he might be one of the last guys out.
A noon with the concussion.
It scares me. Scares me big time. A concussion nowadays in the NFL is big time.
Deion Bailey, Romar Morris with the shoulder. Bailey wasn't announced. Dominique Williams with the concussion from a couple weeks ago. Amaro and Tompkins, I read, were groin. So you got to hope they come back quick. For you, maybe you hope Tompkins doesn't come back quick.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm not hoping that. I don't think Tompkins is what we need on this team, and I'm fine with getting rid of him. What makes me upset is Jason Morrow again sitting out for
can't
a nagging
miss
injury.
These reps. He
it's,
can't.
It's
unbelievable. And it's what I've been saying about a guy I was excited about in West Saxton at the position. We are dying for something at tight end. And I feel like this kid, H-back or not, really could bring something to the offense. But he's missed so much time. He's another guy that might have to get cooked, as you would say, for another year on the practice squad.
If we're going
to
talk about the tight end a little bit, I think Zach Sutfeld, I'm sorry, but Zach Sutfeld, for me, is impressed more than anybody. And you keep that play
on
the team.
Can't put the ball on the ground.
Yeah, well, yes. He had that fumble, but still. I still think he's more impressive than anybody we've seen.
I will agree right now. And that's crazy for me with Jason Morrow being in that conversation. You heard the little, that was him dropping the kick. Go ahead. I will eat my crow.
Extra points. Extra points? Are we kidding me? Extra points? Go ahead, Pete.
I know. The lights came on, and you were right. They were too bright.
I don't want to say
Ross
I was
Martin.
Right. I just want right. to say it's a smart decision
you
to go right. with the veteran.
You were right. Listen, I was trying to save that money, and I couldn't. I don't mean it was nothing personal with folk. Just what you seen from the kid, the way he was talked about. I thought Ross Martin could give him a run for his money. We revamped the kicking game in 1 year.
And let me say, the league doesn't like young kickers. Let's talk about the second round pick down with the Bucks in Tampa. Missed two.
Seeing a head coach, and I don't mean a head coach. I mean up top. This kid's losing it a little bit right now.
Crazy.
Second round pick.
That's scary.
They're near perfect in college.
It's like a Mike Nugent situation.
It's a different league. It's a whole nother world. And that's why sometimes you got to temper the expectations on rookies. They are learning new languages in new countries they've never been before.
It's unbelievable. I love that Nick Folk has got this position
I'm
down.
I'm pretty sure Folk
and I'm very
it.
Confident. Even if he misses some, I'm very
now,
confident.
Now, one positive to what has transpired with the kicking position, not only are you that much more confident in folk, but now I think you can afford to cut a Ross Martin after the Giant game when the first waves have to come down, and you can afford to hold on to a guy that you want to stash on your practice squad because there is no reason to expose him a week early. Absolutely none. So the 10 or so, let's say 7 from this squad right now that they have earmarked for the practice squad, your Taiwan Jones, hopefully, your Wes Saxtons, a Romar Morris, Ronald Martin, possibly. Those guys you want to hold on to and flood the market with during the final wave of 22 cuts times 32 teams. So yeah. I feel you might have put yourself in a spot to cut Ross Martin right now, after this Giant game, first wave, because you know whose job it is.
You might as well. You might as well. But getting into special teams, how about Edwards? How impressing.
Big
impressing.
Leg. Everything you. Everything we should
has
have expected.
So much hang time, man.
Hang time. And not only that, he's putting them. I'd love to see it inside the five. That would be great. He's putting them at the 10 now, 2 weeks in a row, two balls consistently.
I'm loving what I've seen. We haven't had a good punter since that Steve Weatherford had that one good year with us.
Before we get into the Giants and kind of start to wind down here, hang time is the reason Anunua is outrunning the punt. Also the reason he got hit in the head. Do you get to a point with Q that you got to start to scale down and pick and choose when he's out there on your units?
If Tompkins is not on this team, definitely. If Tompkins
let's,
is not
let's
on this
stand
team,
under the impression Tompkins is on the team.
I hold on to Quincy like a doll, man. Like you don't want to give him up, and you don't want to get him hurt. He's the player that's very.
He's our
very
Swiss
crucial,
Army knife.
Very crucial to the offense. I think he opens up the team a lot. I think he gives Decker and Marshall
him
open
and
position.
Power to me.
And I think that he's a big-time target this year. Like I said two episodes ago, I think he gets the ball a ton this year if he's there week one, obviously. If he's injured all year and having issues
Wild,
and he's playing special teams all season and tiring out, I don't think that's what you do with Quincy. I think you're trying to breed him into a wide receiver and not as a special teams player and not as a utility player for the rest of his career. You want to make him to a wide receiver because he looks like he can impress that way.
That's he cut off a reporter. I'm a wide receiver. I'm not an H-back. Do what you can be successful at. We had arguments with Tim Tebow with this. Do what you can be successful at. Getting your mismatch, playing the H-back, coming in motion, little shuffle step in the backfield, and logging a defensive end. It's what he does well.
But calling him that H-back makes him also calls him that utility player and putting him at the special teams position where we're going to lose him if he's there a lot.
Stop. Free agency.
You brought it up, man.
No, I'm just letting you know why he wants to be a wide receiver. His agent's letting him know, you got a chance to grow in this offense. Make sure they know you're a wide receiver, because when we hit the market in 2 years, we get paid wide receiver money.
Oh, I agree that's how the NFL works. But if you want to have a steady career with the NFL, with the Jets, maybe, then you stick what you're doing.
I'm just saying, you take Rashad Matthews or you take Delanie Walker.
I'm taking
Delanie
Walker.
They make the same
Walker.
Amount of money.
I'm taking Delanie.
Top shelf H-back is mid-level wide receiver.
I want Delanie now. Damn.
I'm with that. I would be more than with that. He re-upped in Tennessee, but I'm with that.
Yep.
I just think we're getting to a point where we got to start to scale down, Q. If you're coming after a punt, which you brought it up week one, I'll bring it up week two. Came after a field goal, I believe, week one. Came after that punt early on this week. We're aggressive, but we still have our returners back. He's not out there, just has to fair catch. We got guys dropping. It looks like we have a scheme. The last couple of years, we kind of just floated. Just sat there, comfortable being average.
Revamped special teams, it looks like. Revamped.
What we needed.
Exactly what
we needed.
Yep.
Wrapping up, Q.
Let's get into the Giant game, man.
Wrapping up, Q. Pick your spots. Be smart about it, because if he's as valuable as you just described, you can't have him out there running down punts. Can't happen.
Yeah, it would be
especially
scary.
Kicks, too. There's no reason for him to get lit up. Let's get into this Giant game. Go ahead. Where you want to go first?
Is Ryan going to come out slinging it? Is he going to look impressive? Are we going to look conditioned? Is our offense going to look conditioned? Because that's what I'm nervous about. Can our offense have a year like they had last year?
I want to see Forte get about 3-4 touches on the opening drive.
Which I heard he looks good. I want to see
whoever's at right tackle start to maybe lock down a job if we need them to lock down a job. I want to see them be able to move this Giants front seven around. And it's going to be tough because our boy Snacks sitting right in the middle over Mangold, who I hope plays this week and puts in a little time. He was probably a little bit of a vet decision, a little last minute scratch last week. But you got Snacks up there. I feel you can run it, Vernon. Ohio State boy up there doing his thing, Bennett. They are now forming what could be a solid front to maybe hide a lackluster linebacker core. So I'd like to see what we could do.
Are we possibly going
to
see Jason Morrow out here? Are we going to possibly see Jason Morrow catch a ball?
I don't know. Not with the first team.
Are we going to throw a ball to a tight end?
Maybe, but not with the first team. Not specifically Morrow. I want to see Forte, four touches, opening drive. Let's get a couple field goals. I mean, you always want to come down and get points. But let's show the ability to string together a first down or two. We've yet to do that. I want to see a little bit of cohesion on the offensive side of the ball right now.
Obviously, it's preseason, but last year we came out every game slinging. We would drive the ball. We would drive the ball. We would drive the ball. This year looks like the same old Jets. Obviously, it's just preseason, right? I know you're going to say that. It's preseason.
You're killing me over here.
But I want Ryan to look like Bryce has looked 2 weeks in a row. Could we get the veteran guy looking like Bryce?
Can Ryan play against third stringers? Two and a half stringers?
But are we calling Bryce a better player than a third stringer?
I hope so, but I'm telling you who he's performing against now.
Well, okay, if he's performing that well against a third stringer, that means that he's better than third string and maybe second string. So that would mean Gino would either box down or possibly get cut.
Yeah, hey, listen, we talked long enough on that. That will come to fruition. That will show itself.
Maybe we'll see some answers after this third game.
I already told you what I want to see offensively. Defensively, I don't want the New York Giants to gain more than 10 yards rushing in this game.
They shouldn't.
Their running game is a joke to me.
They should not be running the ball at all.
Victor Cruz, back at practice, fully now. I can maybe see him getting a few series, but when they can put Cruz, the rookie Sterling Shepard, and OBJ on the field, they offer a formidable front for a receiving corps.
Is this game possibly to hold on to that second spot in cornerback for Marcus Williams?
Maybe.
Or is Buster Screen going to be, you know, week one we're going to start
Buster Screen?
That's why I
say maybe. I feel Buster Screen is the starter opposite Darrell Revis. I honestly feel that might have been the plan last year with the structure of Crow's deal, the timing of Screen, Revis, then Crow. I think they got high hopes for Screen.
But
I agree wholeheartedly
me.
With the slot. And don't be scared of him losing his slot and losing
That's
what he brings to the defense.
That's what scares me a little bit, is that
don't
we're going to give up the slot
don't
position
be.
Too much.
For you to say that, you have, and I'm giving you just a for instance,
gotcha.
A short-sighted view of what Casey Rogers and more so Todd Bowles has in store for this defense.
I trust them up to this spot. I have not wavered my trust on Bowles or Casey Rogers, but I'm still trying to learn them. And they had a good year last year. It was his first year, so
Very
I can't really judge them full-heartedly on last year. It was his first season. Every coach can have a good first season. We got to see what their second season. Second year slumps. That's how it works. That's how everything works. So if this season is impressive and we're not a breaking defense, yeah, I'll be impressed. So the only thing that scares me about that cornerback position is losing Screen's talent in the slot. And this league is full of slot receivers. Randall Cobb.
That's what I just touched on with
Edelman.
Why we looked as bad as we looked against Washington. Jitterbugs.
Exactly. It's
your normal slot receiver mold.
It's full of that. And Buster's the best against that. That's what scares me. We're going to pull him away
like
from those
Buster's
players.
I like Buster's toughness. I like what he brings in the blitz. I like what he brings in the
And that's when he's playing inside. That's
game.
When he's playing inside.
That bubble screen game. Buster fights through.
Oh, no. He's gritty, man. He is gritty. And I want him gritty against that gritty wide receiver.
But I don't think you have to worry.
But that outside guy? But then when you got to bring Marcus in?
Okay, but whether it be Marcus who, I don't know if we should put Marcus. Maybe it's Milner. Maybe it's the Rook who lights fire. Maybe Daryl Morris solidifies a spot on this team. And he's the answer. The point is, you got one of the GOATs on the other side. And you got a weapon in Screen to work with. We have enough talent to hide that 2/3 spot. And I say hide with some good players. Just I don't think it will be a sore thumb on this defense. And I say that honestly. I don't say that as a short-sighted Jet fan.
I agree, man. I'm excited to see what we got against our New York rivals.
Safety position, Middleton hopefully back, somewhat fully healthy. I'd like to see him and Ronald Martin and Deion Bailey. I'd like to see one of them really start to step to the forefront of this depth battle that's going on in that 3 and 4 and 5 safety spot.
And I think that we see a little bit of Lawrence Thomas just to see if Sheldon's out.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to start to get to the point to where Sheldon's time starts to get weaned down because he's not a guy who's playing week 4 and he wouldn't be anyway. So you're going to get to that point where, Shell, you're not out there week 1. I got to give this guy a little burn. I got to get Jarvis Jenkins ready. I got to get Leo some extra reps. And how about Leo here before we close? Leo might have murdered that running back.
He's going to murder the league, man. He's really the big cat. He is really the big
cat. Impressive. I mean, it's nothing we didn't hope was coming.
But it's
everything we did hope was coming.
Are you seeing more out of him than you saw out of Sheldon in his second year?
Oh, man. I hope Sheldon's getting right in the
head. Because, you know, Sheldon is obviously the next contract on our D-line.
I know.
And if Leo looks like he's looking, man, very scary.
Bust.
Are you matching them up a little bit? Are you seeing that Leo is playing as well as Sheldon is?
Not matching them up. To me, your boy Steve McClendon said it best. He said they all bring the same thing, but with different tools. Mo got the strength and the speed. Sheldon got the quickness. Leo basically got everything is
got
the way
he
was
all,
kind
man.
Of alluding to. But I want to touch on what you asked me with Sheldon. I'm not getting scared. That's one of my boys right there on this team. That's somebody I think you build around. I just want his head to get right. I want him to be able to go out, play with his hair on fire, and just ball. There's been so much going on. I hope the birth of his child, big congratulations, blessings from the Couch Scouts.
Yep.
I hope this can settle him down a little bit, put things in perspective, and him want to go out there and match his boy on that monster contract because he's got everything God could possibly give a 3-technique defensive tackle.
Man, it is. We should be very lucky that we have these two guys on the team.
Listen, my uncle always told me it's bad luck to go 4-0 in the preseason. I definitely don't want to lose to Philly, especially because Hackenberg, I feel, is going to have a lot of that game. I by no means plan on losing to the New York Football Giants.
No, we need that flag this year. That's our stadium.
So you know what? We got one out of the way. As you had said midweek, let's see how these young guys bounce back from a loss now. It's a good learning experience. We took the lead. Robbie Anderson, great, phenomenal play in the second half of that game. We took the lead. Unfortunate turnover. We gave it up. Let's see how the young guys bounce back.
Let's see what the Jets are made of.
Guys, that's another week in the books here for the Couch Scouts. Want to thank you for joining us. As always, you can find us on Podomatic, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere else podcasts can be downloaded.
Jet fans, give us a follow on Twitter at NYJ Couch Scouts. Send us your questions and your comments, and look out for our future prizes and giveaways.
Definitely got some stuff in the works. Want to give a big shout out to our producer, Gio Garcia, as well as our co-founder, David Schwenderman. And once again, a bigger thank you to Jet fans out there. You keep listening, we keep bringing it, guys. Till next week, let's beat them G-men. Let's get one.
Have a great week, Jet fans.
Couch Scouts Podcast, audio of the free. Hey!